Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. And Lord, for all the things we've been able to get done. I do indeed pray you, Lord, for Norman, especially at this time, whatever's going on with his leg, that you would help that to ease and get him back on his feet. Thank you, Lord, for Christine feeling better and for Marianne feeling better. For getting Frank home safe and sound, and for these job offers that they have coming in. I pray you wisdom for Frank and doing the right thing. Please bless us as well, Lord. Please be with Lynn, Colin, and Kate, for Christine and Marianne, for Will, for Pat and Steve, for John and Calvin, and for us. Please watch over us, Lord, and our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. I pray that you would take this time to minister to each one of us and protect us, Lord, this day, I pray. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. And I pray that you wouldn't be done with us, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will start with number 2, Mrs. Bradfield, in the little black book. And we will sing this blessed old book, hymn number 2.
My soul today, more glory.
very much. As per your request, we are going to read Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And I hope this is a help to you. Many people find that the Psalms are full of comfort and sympathy, but also encouragement and strength. And I hope this will be at least one of those for you. Psalm 40. There's only 17 verses, and we'll be through them in a flash. Wait till you see. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen. Thank you for that suggestion. Good verses, good promises in there. But that was a wee bit of a help to you. Ling, do you have a hymn that you would like for us to sing?
One seven.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, that's good. Let's sing that.
Save in the arms of Jesus, save by his gentle breath.
going to have just a word or two of prayer now, and then we will sing one more hymn, and then we'll open our Bibles. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, that we can come to you at any time of the day or night with all of the thoughts of our hearts, Lord. We know, Lord, that you will help us sort them, because you search the depths of our hearts, Lord. And I pray, please, that you will. Lord, of all of the things that are going on in the world, I pray that you would continue to minister to Israel. And I'm sure their names are being called out continually, Lord, in your presence. Please bless them with provisions and protection and wisdom. And Lord, even things that would normally kill men, I pray you, Lord, that you would miraculously deliver the many Israeli soldiers. Excuse me from them. We do know, Lord, a number of the brethren here and faraway fields, Lord, are not well. I pray very especially for Kira Deerking, Lord, or Carol Deerking, but that lady that had her limbs removed after that awful sickness that she had. We pray you, Father, please, for your will to be done and for strength and indeed healing, Lord, for her and for the whole family. We pray as well, Lord, for Steve and his continuing dialysis, that they could indeed find out what it is that is giving him so much bother, Lord, that he still needs to be having dialysis. I pray as well for Norman, and for that injury he's caused to his calf, Lord, and the one leg that he can't put his foot down, that you would help him with that as well, please, that you would heal him with that. For Colin over in Ukraine, Lord, for Christine and her sore back, and for Marianne, Lord, her diabetes, I pray you, please, Lord, that you would help each one of our brethren. And we're not forgetting, Lord, Ed Bissett and this cancer treatment. We know he missed this week because of an infection. I pray you, please, you would help him over it, and that further treatments would be what he needs, Lord, and that they would be sufficient to just put the final nail in the coffin of that tumor that he had in his blood. I know there are many that are cast down. I know that there are many that are low, Lord, physically and spiritually. I know, Father, as well, for sure, that you'll never leave us and you'll never cast us out. You'll never forsake us. And I pray you, Lord, please, that for those souls that whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, that are at a low ebb, that you would recharge and revive, that you would draw them out to the full counsel of your word and the preaching of it, Lord, to good old-fashioned biblical fellowship. And Father, those that are able to be out, we know that there are many battles to be fought. I pray that you would supply our needs, and Father, we will faithfully go. Please, Father, help us. Please continue to save lost souls. Please continue to use our words and our deeds as a means whereby souls are pointed to the foot of the cross. For all the leaflets that have gone out, for the words that have gone out, I pray you, please, Lord, that they would make a difference in people's lives. We love you and praise you. I know there's a whole lot of other stuff going on. I pray you for people's work. I pray you for families. I pray you for loved ones and neighbours. I pray you, Lord, most important, for souls to be saved. And that, Lord, again, we wouldn't be done with this. We love you and thank you. Thank you for loving us and thank you for saving us, Lord. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Hymn number 23. We haven't sung it in a little bit. It's an old one, or at least as far as Bethel's concerned, it's an old one. Number 23 is "There Is Power in the Blood." If you're able, folks, let's stand as we sing.
As far in the blood, as far in the blood.
before you get too comfortable, if you want to grab your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. In a different building, they would say that that is unlucky for some. But here it's just chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, I only want to read about 6 or 7 verses from verse number 23. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse number 23. I had a few thoughts on the subject of on the clock, and I'd like to share them with you this evening. And I would like to take this text out of the Gospels in the New Testament and bring to you one other out of the book of Ecclesiastes as the service continues. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse number 23. I'm reading to verse 30. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen. Amen. Our text, there it is verse number 25, where the word of God says, When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, he shall answer and say unto you, I know not when shall. That's our text. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will hit the ground running. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Pray your good hand upon us as we take this little bit of time to look at your word. And I pray for wisdom and understanding, for Holy Spirit power. We love you and thank you. And we pray this for all of our brethren, wherever they be, listening to, reading, and teaching and preaching your word. We just love you and thank you, Father. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title for the message is, of course, On the Clock. That is quite an old phrase. And if someone says they're on the clock, that means they're working to a deadline or they're on a limited amount of time. This was all kicked off by one man saying to the Lord, Is there going to be a whole bunch of folks that get saved, or is there only going to be a few folks that get saved? Will there be few that get into heaven? And the Lord said, and he used the example of, let me start again. The Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. In other words, make a bit of an effort not to get saved, but to realize your need to be saved, because Jesus did all the work for salvation. But we still sometimes, I don't know about you, but I had to do a lot of serious thinking, soul searching, whenever it came to be getting saved. So the Lord gives people this warning, and he says you need to make sure that you're saved, because there's going to come a time that you won't be able to get saved. People don't like to hear that. I know that we all, and personally, I love to hear about examples of people that have been saved on their deathbeds. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. Of the two people that I knew that were lost, whose deathbeds I have sat on, neither of the two of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Don't ever presume upon that. If you're not saved now, death can come knocking very, very quickly, and you don't have to be old for him to come knocking at the door. And then the only thing that will be important to you is not your mates or the good nights out that you had, your favourite TV program, suit, car, or friend. It will be whether you're saved. So the Lord goes on and he uses the example, almost a little parable, of a man locking up his house for the night. Just to make sure that the house doesn't get broken into, that nobody can push down the door. And then his plan is to go to his bed. And goodness, I even do that. It takes me about 5 minutes to walk from one side of the house to the other to double check the locks and bolts and run my eye around all the latches on the windows to make sure nobody, even the wee four-footed nobodies with the long tail and the wee grey furry coats, creep into the house. Although even with doing all that, sometimes they turn off. So the Lord goes on with the example and tells us that after the master of the house, the lord of the house, has locked all the doors, and bolted them, and secured the windows, some people start knocking on the door and say, "Lord, Lord, let us in." And the Lord says, "I don't know you. The time's up, the doors are all locked. If you knew me, you would have made sure that you knew what time I locked the doors and that you were in here with me. And you also would be safe and secured with the thieves and the robbers." But just like everybody, they have to add a little bit of meat and muscle to their excuse. They say, "We have known you. We have seen you. We have listened to you. Goodness, we have even eaten with you." But the Lord says to them, "But you don't know me." How many people, like even for me, whenever we are out and we're putting leaflets in through doors, whenever we're out with the megaphone and we're preaching the gospel, thousands of people see and hear Jesus. They see Jesus hard at work in our lives as we put the leaflets through the door and stand like an agent with a megaphone, and they hear his words. Some of them are even eating in the shops whilst we're preaching. But that doesn't mean that they know God. They know Jesus. Or in this case, that they know. They might have seen him in the distance. They might have sat in the same cafe or in the same eatery and ate with him. They might even have heard him speak. But they don't know him. Where were you when the door was open? Where were you when there was plenty of opportunity to come in through the door? Has anybody ever heard the old saying that nothing good happens after midnight when you're out of your own home? I would bring that back a bit and say nothing good ever happens after 10:30 or 11 o'clock if you're not in your own house. And this is very same thing is going on here. What do you think happens at nights here? People go and visit other people for illicit relationships. They go out to do drugs or alcohol. They are waiting, a bunch of them together on a street corner, waiting for some other twit that should have been in his bed at 10:30, who's walking home at 11 o'clock, to give him a hiding and to steal all his money. So all of these people that are out doing all of those things which they shouldn't be doing, they're enjoying them. And they're having a good time when they should be making their way to the Lord's house to be protected. And the Lord says, "If you had known me, you would know that there is no time in my life for those activities. Once the sun goes down, and once the fire starts to go low, and people make their way to bed. Could even be 8 or 9 o'clock, but the Lord locks up the house. And everybody else thinking, oh, look at that old fuddy-duddy. He's locked his doors, he's secured his windows. Everybody's in the house, and they're all safe from the thieves, and the liars, and the diseases, and the muggers. You enjoy those things so much, they have actually cost you your eternity. They have cost you your safety. But as far as we're looking at, they have cost people their eternity. I know of one man, I have mentioned it many times, we'll mention it again, who quite literally came to the same conclusion, speaking to him in Lincoln Courts, Nelson Drive. If I trust in Christ as my Saviour, I wouldn't be able to drink anymore. And I said to him, it's not that you wouldn't be able to, it's that you wouldn't want to anymore. The change would be that great in you that you would love the Lord that much that you wouldn't want to let him down. Sometimes it does seem that simple, and it may be that simple. And the sad thing about it is, as we read on here, we read that there will be a great wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, woe is me, we're in trouble, we're not safe. We're at the mercies of thieves and robbers and disease-ridden lepers and so on and so forth. And that is the way it is going to be. Whenever you put it like that, you don't have to wonder too much what God is talking about. He's talking about salvation. It says, when once the master of the house has risen up in verse number 25, that means there is a time limit. There is a limit. And the parable, it says, after which the door will be locked. And there is a limit on this life after which there is no chance for a person to be saved. The Lord is telling us all that we're all on a clock. That every single soul on the face of the earth that needs to be saved, because there's little babies that don't need to be saved for years, and there's people that are mentally handicapped that will never need to be saved. But every soul on the earth needs to be saved after they come to the knowledge of good and evil. There comes a point in your life when you need to get saved for ordinary folks. But there also comes a time in between the point where you need to get saved and the time whereby it is too late. And that is, of course, whenever your life is over. The span of our lives. And the Bible says we need to be saved before that happens. That's one of the greatest deadlines, or one of the greatest clocks or schedules, if you like, that we need to keep our eyes open for. And I do believe everybody in here is saved, and I trust the people that listen to the message are saved, but if you're not, there is a clock. The thing about it is, the longer you leave getting right with God, the harder it is to get right with God. Has anyone ever heard of people, whenever my children misbehave, I count to 10. And if they haven't sort of, I used to do that before. I'm going to count to 10, and if you don't have it done, there'll be trouble.
Five.
So Frank learned twice as quickly as everybody else. It's a good job he's not here to be embarrassed. I heard a minister say one time, that is only 5 more seconds or 10 more seconds in which a child is free to disobey before they decide to obey you. The longer you leave getting right with God, the harder it is. The longer you leave bad habits in your life, the more deeply entrenched they become in your life. And it is harder and harder to overcome them. In fact, a lot of people think that their bad habits are so much a part of them that their bad habits will actually take them away from God and not let them read the Bible without feeling bad about it. People literally say no to God so many times in their lives that they don't even think twice about saying no to God again, even when the door is about to be shut. And the longer you refuse God a place in your thoughts, the less likely you are to have room for Him in your thoughts, and your life will just go on without Him. I don't know about you, but it wasn't very long ago I remember standing just in the middle of the floor, looking up and down the church, and patting myself on the back a bit for all that Norman did and I was able to give him a hand with, and thinking, where did the last 30 years of my life go? And then I thought of the tracking that had been done and the work in the church and so on and so forth and the messages preached, and I thought, I have served the Lord. That was good enough for me. But if you don't leave, if you don't elbow out a bit of space in your life for God, everything else will take that. And you will be completely blind to time passing you by. And before you know it, you'll go from kicking a ball round the field to sitting in a chair with a blanket over your knees, not able to kick a ball around the field anymore. Looking out at Wayne's kicking a ball around the field, and your thoughts will not even be of God, but just wishing you could go out and kick that ball around the field. And even the small amount of faith that you need to get saved, just to put your faith in God for a moment, to save your soul forever, it's not even there. There's nothing. Now, if you were to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, excellent chapter, and that's where Solomon is telling us about all the stuff that goes on in life. This is what he says. To everything there's a season or a time, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embrace. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Now, you might have noticed there was no time in there for football or video games. This was obviously written a long time before either of those that were written. But these were things that many people went through in their life day to day. Notice it doesn't say a single thing in there about getting right with God. These are just the things of life. And they will expand to fill every little bit of room that you give them in your life. We are literally governed by schedules and managing of our time. It might be working for somebody else and you don't belong, you don't have your own things to do until you've finished doing the time that you've contracted. You've no time for personal endeavours until you work stuff. It has to be accomplished. There could be very real time constraints. There are people for whom even a minute means it's too late. For emergency services. Someone needing CPR or the defibrillator. Or someone needs a tracheotomy. Something where minutes mean the difference between life and death. Or someone in the military that has to have a certain objective carried out, or something demolished, or somebody killed, or some piece of military equipment destroyed or delivered right on time. If you were even thinking of a metalworking factory, of all the things that came to my mind, if you don't do the work when the metal is molten, it's very hard to make the metal do what you want. Things are time intensive. Anything to do with sales and manufacturing, everything is done on a clock. Even getting up out of bed in time for work or school or church, Even eating your breakfast or eating your dinner or eating your tea or going to bed. Moms and dads, they get about 9 months to be ready for a new baby. To get their home ready or the baby's room ready. Get yourself ready and your head around being responsible for another wee person. Or Christmas. Every year it goes crazy in the 2 or 3 months in the run up to Christmas. And then we forget about it for the next 6 months after it's over. There are presents and foods and visits and one thing and another. But the most important one is that you make sure your soul is saved. And you need to do it before it's too late, before that door is closed. And after that, there's another clock on you, Christian, because God has things for us all to do. Sometimes there really is a clock on that, and God will literally say to you, go and do that now. God might put a burden upon you which is going to take a lot of your time in the future, and it's not immediate, but there are things that are immediate. Please remember that God is not, he's not a communist dictator. You will not be executed if you don't do things in time. You will lose out on God's blessing, on being where miracles happen, and just seeing your life improve. And don't worry if you don't know exactly what it is. Of all the things that God asks us to be, God never calls us to be knowledgeable, and he never calls us to be successful. He only calls us to be faithful. So when God calls, we should answer. And whenever you do that, and let's be honest, everybody wants a good life. I don't know of many people that don't. I know many people are frustrated in their lives, but everybody wants their lives to mean something. And whenever you answer God when he calls for salvation and then for service, Romans 8:28 says, all things will work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We want to go to heaven and live with God forever and fellowship with him face to face. Why would we not want to spend time walking and talking and working with him in this world? We're on the clock, friends. There's even a clock running until Jesus comes back. And he says, whenever we want to know what time it is, we watch the hands go round the clock and point at the different numbers. If you want to know if Jesus is coming back, you just watch the different things happen in the world, and they point to a soon return of Jesus Christ. He's going to call us, and then we'll stand in front of him, and he's going to say, well, saved your soul, saved your life. What did you do all the time I gave when you were on the cross? Stopping there, thank you very much for your good time. And this, it started out as a windy night, but when Ling came, it became a wet and windy night. God bless you. If you would like to take your big books, turn to, if I can find it, there it is, hymn number 97. Hymn number 97 in the big books. 97 is I Need Thee Every Hour. Hymn number 97.
Oh.
was that was supposed to be keeping a track of the verses?
It was John who kept it.
You got to blame John. It's
no,
me. It's me.
I heard him singing verse 4, and that's why I sang that one out. He kept it going. Good job, John.
I was only kidding. It's me that's supposed to keep it going. I couldn't sing. I had to swallow some saliva in the back of my throat. But thank you for at least one person knowing where they were in the hymn. Anyway, God bless you and safe travels home. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time set aside. Please bless us as we head home. Please see us there soon. Pray, Lord, for safe travels on the road in this windy and wet weather. And Lord, please don't be done with us for the saving of souls, Lord. Please keep convicting of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, your children of stand right with you. We just love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John, for keeping us right.